I wanted to tie in a little bit or just expand a little bit today on I have been at least some lessons talking about calling those things that be not as though they were, speaking in faith, we believe, and therefore we speak. But I wanted to expand a little bit on this today. There's some insight that I believe will help us. And one of the things that we started this year was determining and expecting, maybe that's the word I want to focus on today. We've entitled it Being Fully Persuaded, but expectation. What is your expectation? And I wanted to look at just what did we start the year off? I'm expecting that this year is my best year ever. You need to say it, believe it and say it, and not just believe it and say it, but expect it to come to pass. Put aside what you think and what you're walking through. You may be going through the worst experience of your life, but you expect this is my best year. And you need to say it. Because God in Isaiah said he watches over our words or Jeremiah, he watches over our words to perform them. And so we need to decree that. We can have what we say, and we can do what he said we can do. We can have what he said we can have in the Word of God. So always remember, confession precedes possession of something. And confession is the start or the beginning of something you possess. But let's look, or just look at a few scriptures here this morning. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says in the King James, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession," or you could say confession. Consider means to perceive, behold, discover. It means to also means to fix one's eyes or mind upon. If I consider something, then that means one, just in the dictionary, it says that I'm considering it, I'm giving thought, and I'm doing what? In order to reach a conclusion. So if I say I'm considering something in the English language, I may not have determined or come to a conclusion. You say to me, I want to do this, and I'll go, well, I'll consider that. I didn't say yes. I just said, I'll consider that. So what do? You look at all the facts, you ponder it, and then you come to a conclusion. Right? But this also is saying, fix or consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. In the Passion Translation of that verse, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, you are now made holy, and each of you is invited to the feast of your heavenly calling. So fasten your thoughts fully on Jesus, whom we embrace as our apostle and king priest." So we need to do what? Fasten our thoughts fully on Jesus. That means all the time you need to keep your thoughts centered on Jesus. No matter what's swirling around, what's going on, you need to fasten your thoughts on him. Now, Hebrews 4:14 in the King James, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession," or you could say confession. Now, Hebrews 10:23, I want to spend a few minutes here on this particular verse. Hebrews 10:23. I'll wait till you get there. And I'm going to read from the King James and then also from the Amplified Classic. You know, so often it's good to look at other translations, but it's also good to look up, you know, if you have a concordance, or now it's very easy, electronic, you know, on your iPad, pretty much you can get anything with a Strong's concordance that has all the numbers, and you just tap it and it'll tell you what the, you know, what the definition is in Greek. But Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, you know, I would always get excited, and I am excited about that, but let me just share something, and the reason I'm bringing this particular scripture out in light of calling those things that be not as though they were, when you look up, because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't always look up every word. How many in here look up every word in the Greek to see what it means? I don't. But I'll tell you, recently, I looked up the word faith in that verse, and I threw my iPad up in the air. I said, oh my God. That word faith really is the word for hope. It's really the word for expectation. Not just believing, expecting. So this word, when you look it up, this word, it means expectation or confidence. So when you read this, it really means let us hold fast the confession of what we're expecting. Oh, that's a little different. Now, I'm just believing, yeah, but what are you confessing? What are you expecting to come to pass? That's Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall what? Not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that they say shall come to pass, they'll have what they say. So this is saying, let us hold fast, let's hold tight the confession of what we're expecting to come to pass. Oh, that's a little different. Is it now? So what are you expecting to come to pass? You ought to be holding fast to that, and not what you're seeing, what you're experiencing, not talking about the problem, but what are you talking about? I need to be speaking what I expect. Because why? Faith, now faith is the substance of things expected, the evidence. My faith is the evidence of things not seen. So we ought to be holding fast. What is it? Let us hold fast the profession or confession of what? Your faith or what you expect. Oh boy, I mean, this is just, it's exciting to me. Because what are you saying? What are you confessing? What are you speaking? Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:1, in the Passion Translation, it says, now faith brings our hopes, or you could say your expectations, into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Praise God. I don't know if they were able to put this up. That you do, you have that God's Word translation. I asked them to just do this. This says, faith assures us of things what we expect. What assures you? Faith. Faith assures us of things we expect. It's the ground. It's the support. And what? Convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, this is the authentic translation. This is another translation. It's called the authentic translation. Listen to this. Now, faith, what does? Faith forms a solid ground for what? Your expectations, the proof. What is the proof? Faith, the proof of unseen realities, actualities. Say it again. Now, faith forms a solid ground for our expectations, the proof of unseen actualities. So what are you expecting? So let's go back and look at Hebrews 10:23 again in the King James. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without what? Wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hold fast the confession of your expectations. What are you expecting? What is it that you're expecting? Now, listen to this statement. I'm going to make it a couple of times here so you can grasp hold of this. The proportion of your faith will be exhibited in the measure of your expectation. The proportion of your faith, the measure of your faith, is what? Exhibited in the measure of your expectation. Little faith, little expectation. Great faith, great expectation. Let's say it another way. The proportion or measure of your faith will be seen or exhibited or demonstrated by the measure or degree of your expectation. Just think about this. Are your expectations today the same as your expectations were when you first became a Christian? So what does that mean? That means the measure of your expectation has increased. Therefore, what does that mean? Your faith has increased. So the measure of your faith is proportionate to the measure or demonstration of your expectation. What are you expecting? So when we give today, you know why a lot of times people don't give? Like, I'm not stepping on anybody's toes here. I'm not. I'm serious. You know why people don't give like they should give? Because they don't expect anything. So the proportion of their faith is similar to the proportion of their expectation. They give a little because they don't expect much. But when you know that when you plant your seed, it will produce, then the measure of my expectation is greater. I'm expecting a return. So I give great. Now that goes with your time. When you volunteer, when you give your time, do you expect a return? Or are you just coming to help? You know, praise the Lord. I'm not knocking that, but I'm saying when you give your time, when you sow into the kingdom of God, you ought to be expecting great return. Not just, well, you know, we're here, praise the Lord. No. Do you do the same with your seed that you sow? Well, praise the Lord. You know, whatever. No. There needs to be expectation. Hold fast. What? The confession of your expectation. What does that mean? When I sow my seed into the kingdom of God, I believe that I'm my seed is what? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God gives seed to the sower, bread for food. He does what? He multiplies my seed sown, and he does what? Increases the fruits of my righteousness. Are you expecting that? If you are, then you can sit back and say, I expect my seed is multiplied. I expect the fruits of my righteousness are increased. Now, I'm just saying, you know, we start where we're at. But God is wanting us to do what? Increase. Increase. Increase in our expectations. Not just kind of cruise through life and I just hope stuff works out. Hope God just sends me a little blessing here or there. No, I'm expecting a return because God said so. Faith begins where the will of God is known. His will is known to us. Hallelujah. So we have great expectations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody hooking up with this? Glory to God. Increase. Increase in your expectations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's take a look at something. You might say, okay, where is that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. I heard you thinking. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. When you begin to see this, that faith, or as we said, the proportion of your faith will be exhibited. Faith is an act. Faith is action. Faith with what? A corresponding action is dead, being alone. So my action, my expectation, I'm expecting something where my faith is concerned. So Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 5. We know this story. I know you're going to see this because, I mean, just when I started seeing this, I said, oh my goodness, there's account after account after account after account in the Bible of individuals expecting something. Now let's look at the centurion. Did he have great expectation? Oh, yes. And what did Jesus say? He didn't say, great is your expectation. No, he said, great is your faith. But his expectation was great. Was it not? What did he say? Starting in verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, verse 6, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Verse 7, and Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, what did the centurion say? The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Great expectation. You don't need to come. Just speak the word only. And then what else did he say? Verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He recognized that Jesus was under authority. So what did he say? Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto him that to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Great faith, great expectation. You can't have great faith and poquito expectation. And you can't have great expectation and little faith. Your faith is proportional to, what do we say? I'll read it again. The proportion of your faith will be exhibited in the measure of your expectation. So the centurion had great expectation because he had great faith in Jesus. He expected Jesus to do what he said he would do. So let's look. Let's look at another account, Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood. Starting in verse 25, this is the King James. It says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered what? Many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garments, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And I'm not going to read the rest. Let's look at verse 33. It says, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And what did Jesus say? Daughter, verse 34, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. In the Amplified, it just says in verse 28 of Mark 5, and she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. If I, she kept saying. So what does that mean? It's what we read in Hebrews 10:23. Hold fast the confession of your expectation. Without wavering. She didn't. She held fast to her confession of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, again, remember, results don't happen overnight. We must what? Continually speak what we believe. Hallelujah. Our faith is connected to our words. And I'm not going to take the time. We'll do that on the stream Wednesday. But again, you know the story, Abraham. But we'll take a moment and just look at in the King James, Romans chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. And it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who does what? Who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who what? Against hope, believed in hope. Now I'm just going to stop here. That word hope is the same exact Greek word that's used in Hebrews 10:23. It's the same word that's used in Hebrews 11:1. It's the same word for expectation. So Abraham, who it really says, who against expectation believed in expectation. He expected against any reason to expect anything. He kept expecting. And what does it say? That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And then further down, the next verse, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being what? Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for what? Righteousness. Glory to God. Praise God. So again, hold fast the profession or confession of what you're expecting. And your expectation, this is why when you read here, when this here, and the New Living, I like what it says in the New Living translation of Romans 4. In verse 20, it says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. He never wavered. We need to be fully convinced that when I sow my time, when I speak my words, they're going to come to pass. And God is going to watch over them to perform them and to bring them to pass. And I need not waver. You know, the devil keeps working at your mind and your thoughts. And you need to get right up and say, no, you're defeated and God is working in my behalf. He's working in me. You know, I read this, I believe, in one of the messages, but I think it's appropriate. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. In the King James, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, for it is God which what? Worketh. Say worketh in you, or you could say in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that's working in me. Make it personal. But this was an entry in a health food, the daily devotional from Kenneth Hagin Ministries. But here was the story. I remember the story. I'm just reading this here. It says, I remember the story of a man who had a malignant growth on the side of his face. It looked like a big purple eggplant and had grown almost as big as his head. That's pretty big. The doctors wouldn't touch it. They had done preliminary examinations, but said that he'd live longer if they left it alone. The man had been in all kinds of healing meetings because he believed in divine healing. Healing evangelists had laid hands on him. The pastor had anointed him with oil and prayed. Many people had prayed. Then one day the pastor said to me, I noticed that the growth, though it was still there, began to shrivel. I could see that it was shriveling. The whole church could see it. Within a 3 or 4 month period, we saw that thing get smaller and smaller. Finally, the man came to church one day, and there wasn't a thing in the world wrong with his face. Every bit of that tumor was gone, and all the skin on his face looked like new baby skin. The pastor asked him what happened. See, this is where it gets down. I mean, this was good. He told the pastor that he had been what? Reading his Bible and came to Philippians 2:13. Every morning, when he looked in the mirror, he would put his hand on that growth and say, God's working in that. Philippians 2:13 says that it's God that's at work within me. And he's not only working in my spirit, he's also working in my body. He kept saying that for days and weeks. And after about 3 months, he saw that the growth was beginning to shrivel. How many months? 3 months. Saying this every day, looking in the mirror. And he saw that the growth was beginning to shrivel, and eventually it all just disappeared. Now, God didn't single that fellow out to bless him. The man saw the word, read the word, and began to believe the word for himself, and he received what the word said. So there was a what? Expectation. He read the word, he saw the word, faith came, but then he expected. What did he say? He said, God's working in me. So he made it personal. He said, God is working in me, and he's working in this. So no matter what we are faced with, it could be finances, it could be health, it could be family, whatever it is, you need to say, God is working in the midst of me. If it's health, then he's working in me, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. If it's finances, he's working in the midst of me. He's giving me wisdom, showing me, if it's got a business, how to make money, how to expand, how to grow. But it's going to come, remember, what does the scripture say in Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You could replace that and say, trust in the word with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. So I hope you're getting something out of this. Let's go back and look at, let's look at Hebrews 10:23. Let us, what? Hold fast the profession or confession of our expectation. Not wavering. But what? Not without wavering, for what? He is what? Faithful that promised. He will bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? He'll bring to pass what I believe, the confession of my expectation. Glory to God. What are you expecting this year? What are you expecting in your body? What are you expecting in your life? We need to increase, expand in our faith and our believing. Or you could say in our expectation. Don't be cushy. You know what I mean by that? It just means, you know, you're just satisfied. You know, I'm all right. Everything's cool. No, it's not cool. See, the devil wants us to just relax and not expand. Glory to God. We're going to do more, reach more people, do more. Glory to God. You know, I just keep reminding myself that in order for any church to expand and grow, it takes all of us to bring whatever gifts God has given us And I understand everybody has responsibilities in life. But whatever, do something to increase. Believe God. Stretch for something that seems not reachable. Reach for something that doesn't seem reachable. Say, I'm going to do that. And then your mind is saying, how are you going to do that? You can't do that. You say, watch me. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to have that. I'm going to get that. I'm going to reach that. What did Brother Hagin say when he was alive? I'd rather set my goals high and get the half of them than set them to nothing and get all of them. So set your goals high. Reach high. Something that you know you can't reach. Set your expectations big and high. If you got half, that's more than what you do. Nothing. If we all did that, man, we would be going somewhere. Right? You know, so often people say, well, I can't do that because. You know, people in the world, I'm just talking about worldly people now. Some may be saved, not saved. But, you know, people that have, you ever have people, I'm not talking in all cases, but people that have means, you know what I mean by that? Wealth and means. Do they sit and go, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do? No. They're trying to expand, do more, reach more, right? They don't sit around and worry about what they can't do. So even though we may not have that means, faith is the substance of things expected. And we need to reach out and take hold of something that there's no way you could reach that in the natural. But with God, I can do all things through Christ. I speak things that there's no way in the natural. I'm like, okay, how are we going to do that? I don't know, but we're going to do it. And you need to have that kind of determination because it says, I can have what I say. And if it's for the benefit of the kingdom of God, we're going to reach out and do greater things personally and as a minister. We're doing greater things. I know that didn't sound too exciting. It sounded like we turn the heat off here and make it a little cooler for you. You wake up. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is bread for us. We thank you for stirring our hearts. We thank you this day for the power of the Holy Ghost who strengthens us, who empowers us to do great things in and for you. And Father, we thank you that this is our best year. We thank you that we're going to do more this year than we've ever done in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And before we receive communion and receive our offering this morning, we just want to extend an invitation for those who are here or maybe watching online. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, if you've never believed, or maybe you have believed, but you just never made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. But the scripture says we believe unto what? We believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Where we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that he was raised from the dead, we shall be saved. So let's say this simple prayer of faith if you've never done that, or maybe you want to and never did, or maybe you just got away from God and you need to recommit your life. with a profession of faith. Let's say this: Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that on the third day, when sin was paid for, you raised him from the dead. So I believe now in my heart, and I confess with my mouth, that Jesus is my Lord. He is my Savior, and that by the power of God, he was raised from the dead. So I thank you, and I ask you to come into my heart. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. Make something new of me, and I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you made that profession of faith today and you meant that, that just means, as far as the scripture's concerned, that you're saved, you're born again. And if that be your case, then let us know. Either write us or contact us. Let us know here today. And we will rejoice with you and give you some free information as to who you have become in Christ. Glory to God. Praise God.